Well, I guess that also leads into the other thing I was going to ask you about FL, and I should have asked you about CLL too, which is the issue of so-called maintenance treatment.
Right.
So in FL, the strategy's been out there of giving, in some situations, as you mentioned, chemotherapy, say bendamustine with an anti-CD20 antibody. But then after the chemo stop, to continue the anti-CD20 antibody, for example, for a couple of years. How do you decide whether or not to do that? And again, what are some of the issues in keeping somebody on one of these agents for a couple of years? And it seems like sub-Q rituximab might fit in well there.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issue we run into when we give patients maintenance rituximab, particularly the 2 years, when I give rituximab as a single agent, I use the European, the Swiss SAC regimen where you give sort of extended induction. So they get 4 additional doses every 2 months and then you're done. So it's 8 total doses. When you give a dose every 2 to 3 months, we do see delayed neutropenia associated with rituximab. We also see hypogammaglobulinemia. You can see repeated infections. So in our practice, I think most people after bendamustine do not necessarily give maintenance rituximab. I think if you look at the gallium study with the obinutuzumab, that was done with maintenance. So you sort of want to follow the study that demonstrated the benefit. So I think I would, in a patient getting obinutuzumab, at least present strongly that option. If I'm giving R-CHOP for follicular lymphoma, say you have a grade 3A or you have someone who has a high proliferation index. So sometimes we see these follicular lymphoma where more cells are dividing than you would expect. We get a little bit nervous about that. Nobody really knows what to do. Sometimes we treat those patients with R-CHOP. When I use R-CHOP or if you use R-CVP in an older patient you don't want to give an anthracycline to, then I often do give maintenance rituximab based on the PRIMA data, which showed a significant prolongation in progression-free survival. In CLL, we haven't really been doing as much maintenance. There's data for lenalidomide and there's some data for anti-CD20 antibodies, but have tended not to do that because the toxicity may be more important in that patient population than in follicular, in patients who often have underlying hypogammaglobulinemia from their disease. And after treatment, many of these patients have very low IgG levels.